forget. But I thank you for this opportunity to come here and to share the Word of God with you. And I believe each and every one of us is capable of sharing the Word of God with people we come in contact with. It all boils down to how much effort and time you want to put into the Word of God. If you are like some that says, well, let us leave it to one special person to teach the Word of God, then you're not going to be much help to the Lord, because you are saying, let somebody else do it. We all have been saved so we in turn can share the Word with other people to tell them how to be saved. And as we saw this morning with some scriptures, with some things that God is trying to tell us, we have to be the ones to share the Word of God with other people. This lesson that we're going to look at is one that I had found and worked on, and I thought it would be a lesson because it has an effect on me, and hopefully it will have an effect on you, because your life depends on what you do. Because see, we're all going to die. That's another thing. We are all going to die. And when we die, we're going to come before the God of heaven. And if, and this is the if we have not been found favorable to him, then we are going to be severely lost. And so this lesson is hopefully designed with the scriptures of God to tell you what you can expect and what you hope not to do. We're almost there. Now, I'm going to be reading off a lot of scriptures. And I had one time written up the scriptures for you, but needless to say, I forgot them. And so you have to hopefully bear with me and write them down. I don't expect you to just turn there, because I will be going and going and going. And so just write them down, and at a later date you can look at them for yourself and see what they are saying to you according to the translation that you read. I will start off with this question. Who in here wants to go to heaven? And I believe each and every one of us in here wants to go to heaven. My next question to you is, who in here is doing the work of God to go to heaven? See, you can want to go to heaven all you want, but God has some conditions that we must follow, things that we must do if we want to go to heaven. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declared the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, But it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the things which I sent it. Isaiah 55:6-11. This is God is talking to us. We have a choice here. Are we going to listen to what God says? Are we going to doubt who God is? God says He created the heavens and the earth. Here are some scriptures that you can use. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I made the earth and created man on it. It was my hand that stretched out the heaven, and I commanded all their hosts. Isaiah 45:12. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens. He is God, who formed the earth and made it. He established it. He did not create it empty. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Isaiah 45:18. My hand laid the foundations of the earth, and my right hand spread out the heavens. When I call to them, they stand forth together. Isaiah 48:13. For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heaven existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water, and through water by the word of God. 2 Peter 3:15. But by the same word, the heavens and the earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. 2 Peter 3:7. As I said earlier, this lesson is from God. It is His words that we are looking at, we are reading, we are hearing. He's talking to us. The question is, what are we going to do with His word? You know, think about this. When we were all young and our parents tried to tell us things, did we listen? Did we really pay attention? Like the person that we fell in love with, did we really pay attention to what they said to us? We did what we wanted to do, and hopefully, the person that you fell in love, everything is going well. But that does not always happen. And so God is trying to tell us what to do, how to do it, why we should do it. And it's our choice whether or not we want to do it. Because I want you to remember this. If you go to hell, it was by your own choice. It wasn't God. He gave us the information. So, the choice is heaven or that lake of fire. Will you listen to God? For He said, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 2. Today, my friends, is the day of your salvation. If you are saved, if there's sin in your life, if there's sin in my life, today we're given the opportunity to repent so we can go to heaven. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne, says Matthew 31. The rest of them will also be in Matthew 25, starting with 31 going down. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goat. And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on His left. Then the king will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you by the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick and in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So friends, what I'm trying to tell you, that a day of judgment is coming. We have no idea. But God has given us the opportunity to make sure when he comes, we are ready. Or we try to do that. Or we just going to say, well, I will wait till the last moment to come to God. Because everything that we can see in God's word, he points to a day coming. And he says we must be ready. For example, and just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, Hebrews 9:27. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or bad. Ecclesiastes 12:13-14. The case of a lot of people, they don't want to believe this is going to happen. But you know, whether you believe it or not, it's going to happen according to God. Because God said it was. We have a choice. Do I follow the word of God, or do I reject the word of God? Or as we obey the word of God, do I become a worker, or do I just become somebody to say that I'm saved? But you know, believing in God's word, as a Christian, there's work to do. We all know somebody who is not doing right. In our families, where we work. And we must believe that what God said is true, and it will come to pass. For example, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Acts 17:31. Now I believe you can ask anybody, name somebody who was resurrected from the dead. And most folks will tell you Jesus Christ. They know of him. That is your opportunity to now try to tell them more about this person, Jesus. And he has given him all authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of God. John 5:27. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son. John 5:22. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. John 8:16. I and the Father are one. John 10:30. But because of your heart, an impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. Romans 2:5. And come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. John 5:29. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. John 3:19. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. John 5:24. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. Acts 10:42. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. Matthew 11:24. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. Matthew 12:36. From those scriptures, it shows us that a great day is coming. And it shows us that if we have done wrong, we better do right. It shows us that if we're not ready, we better get ready. But you know, for those who are ready, those who are practicing what God tells us, it is going to be a great day. But for those who are not ready, it is going to be an awful and terrible day when that happens. I don't know if you've seen any pictures of, I think it's Dante's Hell or what, something like that, but it's a picture painted to show everybody that's in this place of torment, and they don't seem to be happy campers. The Bible gives us a picture of hell, or the lake of fire. That's not a good thing. But that's only the surface. God is painting a picture of things that we can understand. And he's trying to tell us it's going to be worse. For example, if we didn't know what hell was all about from the Word of God, how could we envision that? Now, all of us would probably come up with something really terrible. But you know, when God says there will be darkness, every last one of us know what darkness is all about. Some of us have probably been in caves where there's no light. We understand that. We understand what fire is, because maybe at one time we've done something really dumb and by touching something that was on fire to see, ooh, that hurts. It's going to be worse than that. The description of heaven, he tells us. And we will look at some of those, and I won't be able to pronounce all of those precious stones that is described in it. So you write it down and you look at them stones yourself, but it's going to be better than that. So my question is, can you tell me how long eternity is? Your answer better be no. Because no matter what you come up with, it's going to be a whole lot longer than that. Now, I want you to envision something. I want you to think about it, just like what was done here at the Lord's table. He took us back to Jesus when he was praying. And I want you to envision this. I want you to let your mind go to think about this. That is going to be a great day, and the largest crowd ever will be assembled. It's going to have everyone that was ever part of this human race. They're going to be there. And if every New Year's that comes around and you watch TV and you see the ball drop in New York and other places, and if you've ever been there and you say, whoa, what a crowd, you ain't seen nothing. You haven't seen nothing. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or bad. Everybody that ever lived will be there. That also means you and all of your family members will be there. The problem is, will the judgment be the same for everybody? And I think we know that is no. We're going to have the greatest judge to preside. It's not going to be like these judges here on this earth. This judge came from heaven. He set the bar high. And so we're going to be judged by his standards. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. This is Jesus talking. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Jesus is saying this. Revelation 22, 12 and 13. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1. You know, down here on earth, many things influence the decision of our courts. We know if you got a whole lot of money, you may get off with anything. It's not going to be that way on that final judgment. No one can persuade this judge to change his mind from the decisions that he is going to bring down. Everyone, according to our record, will receive justice. The Bible tells us that a great book will be opened. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they have done. Revelations 20 and verse 12. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on that day. John 12:48. heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Pass away, says Matthew 24:35. All of those scriptures that we have just read, that you know what they say. You have probably used them. You have read them. But if you are disobeying them, you're not going to be happy on that day. How many of us, when we were young, and our parents told us to do something, and we just flat out refused because we thought we were big. And then mom and dad got a hold of you and started putting it on you. How many of us was happy? That wasn't cool. But this is what people are doing with the Word of God. They're just taking it, well, it really doesn't mean what it says. But it does. And on that day, a lot of people is not going to be happy. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. And without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Luke 13 and verse 3. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Romans 10:10. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Mark 16:16. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Acts 2:38. And now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. Acts 22:16. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains sacrifice for sins. You know, I am encouraged anytime visitors come to visit us in Charleston from far away. Because they decided, I am going to find a place to worship God when I get wherever I'm going. Now, an interesting backstory. One of your members came up to Charleston. He heard me give this lesson, and he said that, you know, maybe you should come down and give it to us. And I said, well, hey, set it up. You know Joe Bunting? And he told me about Larry Wright, who was the preacher. And so Larry gave me a call, and we kind of chit-chatted for a little bit, and he asked this question. I get this a lot. Are you the same Cookie from South Dakota? I said, yeah. He said, we met one time. We did. And he proceeded to tell me how we met. Him and Carl McMurray, they came out to South Dakota, and they came to worship with us. And I had known Carl previously. And we went out to a cowboy dinner and all that and had fun with one another. And that is how we knew of one another. But I got that name that, you know, most people can remember. And so if someone says Cookie, there's only one that I know of that is me. But it's interesting how you meet people from the Lord's body no matter where you go. They will find you. No matter the out-of-the-way places, they will find a faithful congregation. And that says a lot about us. And so I appreciate the opportunity of coming here. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Matthew 25:31. As we read before in Matthew 25, he's going to gather all the nations together and he's going to separate, and we know how he's going to do that. So that means that we must do everything that God says for people, not only each other, for other people if it's within our power to help them. We must do that. So the question is, where will you be on judgment time? You have a choice. You have a choice on where you will be. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to make things right. We've all had mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers. We're fortunate if they're still alive, but if they have passed on, they may not have been members of the body of Christ. And if they weren't members of the body of Christ, we know, if we want to believe in God's word, where they are to this day. We are going to be there. And it's a possibility that mom and dad will be on this side and you will be on that side, or mother on one side. It all depends on what choice we made. A brother is going to be on one side, a sister on the other side, a husband and wife, they may be separated. But you know, it was the choice of each and every one of them. They made that choice, and when death came, that sealed the deal. I tell people right now, when I talk about something like this, my mother, my grandmother, my father, most of my family members did not obey Jesus Christ. They're dead. I know where they are, if God is right. They didn't have to be there, because they all profess, oh God, they went to church, they did all of these things that everybody does, but they didn't do it the way God said to do it. Remember, today is the day of your salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2 said it. Today, behold, today is the day of salvation. We all can stand together with the Lord, and we can be saved. All we got to do is to repent of our sins. And we know what sins we are committing. We know that. It's not like, oh, I didn't know I did that. We know when we do what's wrong. This separation is going to be forever. It's not going to be, you know, like, well, if you're my age and you were a kid, your mom and dad didn't say, get in that car and time out. They whipped your butt. There ain't gonna be no such thing as, go in the corner, time out, and then I'll let you back out. It ain't gonna be that way. It is gonna be forever. The greatest verdict will be handed down to each and every one of us. What do we want to hear? And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Matthew 25:46. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. Matthew 25:34. Then he will say to those on the left, depart from me, you cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. This verdict is going to be announced. The the destiny of all who have lived. What do you want to hear? You got the opportunity to hear the right thing when you die. So now, I want to go to heaven. Do you? We got to work together. We got to help each other. You in this congregation has to help each and every one here get to heaven. If someone is in error, you have to go to them and get them out of it. You don't stand by and say, let somebody else do it. You have to do it. Because if you remember, God made us a watchman. And that means if you see something, you need to go and try to help them correct it. The Bible, as I said, it paints a picture of hell. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Luke 12 and verse 5. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake. Mark 9:47. And if your eyes cause you to sin, tear it up. It is better that you enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell. Revelation 21:8. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexual immorals, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. I ask this question to you again. I want to go to heaven. Do you? Pay attention to God's word. Do his word, and you will go to heaven. Now, the Bible also shows me and you the glory of heaven. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Revelation 22:1. Through the middle of the streets of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And the night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun. For the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angels to show his servants what must soon take place. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. That was Revelation 22, down to verse 7. 1 Peter 1:4. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfailing, kept in heaven for you. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, Philippians 3:20. Now, in Revelations 21 down through 22 is where some of those interesting words. I'll do my best. 21:18. The wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the cities were adorned with every kind of jewels. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, and the fourth emerald. Now here's where I get into trouble. The fifth onyx, the sixth carved whatever, the seventh crystallite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth. You know, and I had the computer help me with these words, and it went in one ear and out the other. But when you read it, if you can do better, great. But it's telling us what some of these things are. So we have 11 and we have 12. Now, I can do 12. Amethyst. These are precious stones that we can relate to. But it's going to be far better than that. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl. And the streets of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. We can understand those things. And even if, like my mispronunciation of those words, you can look them up, it gives you a description, and our mind can focus in on that. Heaven is going to be far better. If we do this faithfully, we will make heaven. Because God said he will reward us if we do what he said. We have to if we want to go to heaven. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. We got to believe that. That same old question. I want to go to heaven. Do you? Because if we do go to heaven, we will be with God, we will be with Christ, we will be with the Holy Spirit, we will be with the angels, we will be with all the redeemed of earth who obey. As I said before earlier, this lesson to me has that sad note that my family will not be there. But I hope my immediate family, that we will continue to do what God wants, we will be there. There's one in my family which is disobedient to God. And we pray for him constantly that he will obey the truth before it's too late. And I will petition to you, you don't know him, but we call him Little Cookie. So now, if you know me, you know my wife, there's a Little Cookie out there in Colorado Springs that need to obey the gospel just like everybody else. And if we all pray to God, hopefully, he and everyone will repent. But again, that choice is theirs. All we can do is pray for those who are not doing the will of God. And we can do all of this by being faithful. When we sin, we repent and we will study the Word of God so that we may teach other people how to escape the fires of hell. I said it before, I say it again. If I don't make heaven, I'm not going to blame you. I'm not going to blame God. I got to blame myself. It's right here in front of me, and if I don't do it, it's my fault. Same thing goes for you. Deuteronomy 32:35. Vengeance is mine, and recompense. For the time when their foot shall slip, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and their doom comes swiftly. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. Galatians 6:7. Here's one, a warning that we should keep in mind. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, says Hebrews 10, verse 34. Now, if you don't know that word, fearful, here's what I found. Fearful in the Greek means terrible. These words mean exactly what you think they mean. Terrible. Facing God's judgment will be terrifying to those who fail to obey. There's a movie out, and it was entitled The Bucket List. And most people from time to time says, I want to come up with the bucket list and do all of these things before I die. But you know what we should try to tell somebody who says that? We should say, you know, I too want to have a bucket list. And my bucket list is this: to be faithful to the end and do the will of God and to teach people how not to go to hell. That should be our bucket list. Eternity, my friends, are in your hands. You have a choice to stay faithful or to go into the world. I thought of this in closing. Mankind, human beings, really don't want to be saved. They will tell you, I want to be saved. But they don't want to be saved. God is telling us everything we must do to be saved. Do they do it? Why is it this building, our building, not full? Why? I'm sure you guys have done things trying to tell people about salvation and about God. Why aren't they here? They don't want to be saved. And so, if they don't want to be saved, it's not because God didn't do everything that he was going to do to save them. He sent his son to give us the freedom, redemption from sin. And so, people must start listening to God. If they turn off their ears. You know, okay, for example, I do it, and this is to the folks that's married, to the husband. I know you do it too. You, when the wife is getting on you, you hit that switch. And when you're ready to hear what she got to say, hit the other switch. We better keep that switch on to God. And when he tells us what to do, we better do it. We better start listening to God. Eternity, my friends, is in your hands. What are you going to do? What are you going to do if when you go from this world and you find yourself up there and God says, depart from me, you sinners. You can cry all you want, but it ain't going to make a difference. The seal has been cast. You are doomed. And so, my friend, right now, I hope that you have decided that you're going to do what God says. And so the invitation is offered that if anyone has committed a sin in which they need to repent publicly for, this is the time to do so. I don't know who in here is not a member of the body of Christ, but if there are members and you want to obey the words of God and you want to be baptized, I'm sure that they can offer that means to baptize you. The choice is yours.